Well, it's summertime, and Cincinnati theater fans are well aware that that means it's time for the 2015 Cincinnati Fringe Festival. And joining me in the studio is the associate producer of the 2015 Cincinnati Fringe Festival, Mr. Chris Wesselman. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Jim.
45 shows and over 150 performances.
Yeah, I think we're up to 181 right now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. I would say arguably the largest theater festival in Cincinnati.
Arguably. We can probably say the region. I think that's safe to say. So.
And it's so full of different things. We've got the main stage season. We've got Fringe Next. We've got Fringe Development. Talk about all the components.
One of the great things about Fringe, and one of the reasons I think we end up seeing such a diverse audience attend the festival, is because you're right, there is such a variety of shows, such a variety of performers, and there's a little something for everyone at Fringe, and that's what's so great about it. The lineup this year ranges from family-friendly shows to shows that have titles that aren't really mentionable in print or on the air, which is always the case. But it's that diversity that we really love. It's that ability to reach out to everyone and have everyone be involved. And that's what's so important to us for the festival, is that it's not ostracizing anyone. It's giving an opportunity for anyone, especially people who may not have reached out to experience live theater before, an opportunity to try something out. And these are short shows, too. So even if you stumble across something that you don't necessarily enjoy, 70 minutes max. It's not a whole lot of your time.
And it's local artists. It's artists from around the world. It's just a pantheon of current contemporary theater.
Yeah, we have just over 50% local artists this year. And then the out-of-town guest artists that we have visiting come from across the nation, from Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago, Minneapolis. And we also have a record-setting 5 international artists or international groups visiting us this year from South Africa, Japan, the UK, and Canada. There's 2 UK groups this year. So very exciting to see the world congregate into Cincinnati for some really exciting theater.
And not just Cincinnati. This is all taking place in Over the Rhine.
Pretty much, yeah. We only have one venue that's technically outside of Over the Rhine, and that's going to be on Court Street. But yeah, we have been so lucky to forge a couple of new relationships the past couple of years, primarily with First Lutheran Church on Race Street. That church will have 3 venues in it this year. We had a great relationship with them last year when the group Pones Inc. performed their show in that space, and they were more than welcome to have us back this year, and it's been so nice. And we've actually, just a couple weeks ago, stumbled into a new relationship with NAST Community United Methodist Church on Race Street. So that will also serve as a venue this year. So we're really excited. It really is just this amazing opportunity for us to really strengthen that community of Over the Rhine. There's so much going on there now, and there's so much happening. And we've been a little bit worried over the past few years that our ability to find places in Over the Rhine to create these temporary venues, we are kind of worried about what we are going to be able to find. But these new relationships have definitely strengthened that idea of the more we can keep this festival in Over the Rhine, the better it is for everyone.
And of course, looking forward to the future, the Fringe has instigated in the past few years a couple of different programs to encourage artists, especially young artists, mm-hmm. to start thinking along the lines of Fringe style performances. And that would include Fringe Next and the Fringe Development Series.
Both those programs are heading into their 5th year, and Fringe Next has been this, it's been amazing to watch this program grow and strengthen. These high school-aged artists, every year we think we've been blown away as much as we can by these groups of young artists, but every year we get these submissions that we're just like, these kids are in high school and they're thinking of this stuff and they're wanting to do this stuff, and it really is, it's just a majority of the Fringe Next participants tend to be graduating seniors. And so it really is this opportunity for them to kind of take that initial step into the real world of theater. Because, you know, as aspirations for these kids could be as high as performing on Broadway, but a majority, the great majority, the vast majority of theater doesn't happen in Broadway venues. The vast majority of theater happens in these small kind of spaces, these kind of regional theaters, where everything's not as grandiose and things aren't as, the technical capabilities aren't as impressive. So to give them this opportunity to say, hey, you got to do everything yourself. All of you, from the ground up, these shows are created, produced, written, directed, acted. They do all their own load-ins. They do all their own load-outs. They design the shows. Every aspect of the show is handled by these high school-aged artists, and we're constantly blown away every year by the level of work that they're able to put on the stage.
And Fringe Development is sort of the adult version of this.
Yeah, Fringe Development started, I don't remember the specific project, but we had a submission that the show wasn't quite ready to go up. And the producer of the show was well aware of this fact. And so we decided to start this program that basically offered these artists the opportunity to workshop these shows, to develop these shows during the festival using this mass of creativity that occurs during Fringe, all the artists, all the participants that are there, to kind of tap them for their help and their assistance to put the final pieces together for these works. And it culminates in a one-night performance for that show. And this year we have a local Fringe Development piece by Alison Vodnoy, who's a very familiar face at the Fringe Festival. And we have Joe Bone from the United Kingdom coming in for Fringe Development as well. Now, he is this immensely popular artist around the world. He does this trilogy called Bane, and it's kind of a film noir detective trilogy. And he will be premiering the fourth installment of Bane, Bane 4, at Fringe Development this year. And so we're extremely excited to have him in. It's very, very exciting.
Fringe Development then brings up a very important point. How are shows chosen for the Fringe? What is it that the Fringe Festival looks for in submissions?
That is a complicated question. First off, to help select shows for the festival, we have a jury panel, and it's composed of a wide variety of local theater producers, artists, actors, designers. And this year, we expanded that jury pool up to 24 jurors. That's twice as many as we've ever had before. And our intention for that was to kind of broaden our view on the shows that we were choosing. We didn't feel like the process in the past was being hindered at all, but we thought it couldn't hurt to let more voices be heard. And it was really helpful this year because for the first time we were able to have multiple jurors on submissions. So we were getting these contrasting views or these complementing views on shows. And it kind of made selecting the lineup a whole lot easier. In general, one of the most important things that we look for when we're selecting these shows is that, are they simple enough to be performed at the Fringe? And when I say simple, I don't necessarily mean easy to watch or anything like that, but technically simple, because obviously we spread the No Theater's theatrical resources across essentially a dozen venues in over the Rhine. And that kind of means you get very limited lighting capabilities and you get very limited sound. But there's this wonderful thing that happens where these shows, without having to rely on those heavy technical elements, the ability to tell a story and the ability to let the performances themselves really get spotlighted, when that happens, there's something magical about it. And a lot of these venues tend to be very intimate as well. So it is definitely a unique experience to have. And we generally tend to look for the shows that will help us achieve that. As far as content goes, that's the thing, is that there really is no definition of what a Fringe show is. It can really be anything. And when it comes down to it, we never really know what we're going to see in the lineup this year. And that's also very exciting. So
the Fringe Festival is not just about theater. There are other components.
That's right. For the umpteenth year in a row, I've lost track, we're going to be doing our visual Fringe project, which will include a mural on one of the walls of the No Theater building by Higher Level Art. And we also have a couple other kind of smaller projects for visual Fringe this year. Matt Steffen, who's done some visual Fringe projects in the past, will be coming back. Basically, we are providing him with, I think now it's over 115,000 photos from Fringe Festival productions and just around the festival past. And he's basically going to be creating this kind of really cool photo mosaic for us to put up on the wall. And the idea with that will also be that we will provide festival goers with a hashtag to mark photos that they take during the festival. I believe it will be hashtag Frimages, F-R-I-M-A-G-E-S. So we'll be taking the photos with hashtag Frimages, and basically we'll be printing them out and adding to this photo mosaic that will be on the ramp throughout the course of the festival. So we'll have this nice little core of images from all the festivals past, and then we'll be adding to it with pictures from this year's festival. And then Mickey Schaffner, who does a lot of production photos for theaters across town, is going to be doing his portrait series for the festival that basically shows actors prior to preparing for their roles and then prepared for their roles. And it's this lovely little contrast of actor versus character. And that's going to be really cool. So those photographs will be in the underground at No Theater, and we'll also be displaying them at some of the venues, I believe, as well. So
there's going to be some Fringe throughout the year after this festival.
It is slowly taking over everything at the theater, which is amazing. We always try and schedule what we call Fringe encores, which are basically shows that have performed at the festival and that we bring back for encore performances. And we're also now starting to schedule what we call Fringe Extra programming, which are shows and performances that weren't necessarily at the festival, or they are not even groups that participate in the festival, but it's programming that we feel like kind of falls into that Fringe model, and that we'll be presenting the rest of the year. And even No Theater's main stage season cannot escape the flood of Fringe. We have a lot of Fringe artists and Fringe producing companies coming back for our main stage season next year for season 18. But our producing artistic director, Andrew Hungerford, can talk a lot more about that.
I'd like to thank this evening's guest, associate producer of the Cincinnati Fringe Festival, Chris Wesselman. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim.
For more information on the 2015 Cincinnati Fringe Festival, be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Jim Stump.